This is a conspiracy. That's what this is.
One big damn conspiracy! And everyone's in on it!
I know what's going on.
Did IQs just drop sharply while I was away?
The person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, and you know it.
Did you see the memo about this?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
Don't you see what this means? This is it! This is the beginning of everything! I've been waiting for this all my life!
Welcome to episode 59 of Your Missing the Point podcast, where we discuss the weird, the wonderful, and the downright bizarre aspects of life, as we have conversations with people from all over the world. Today, I'm joined by two-thirds of the Iowa Talk Guys podcast, one of the best podcasts for the geopolitical, international, and deep-dive conflicts of the world. From Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Palestine, China, Taiwan, and everything in between, these blokes have a great insight into the military-industrial complex and US international policy as a whole. Let us welcome friends of the show, TP and Theo. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. This is TP.
Yeah, thanks. Theo here. That was a hell of an introduction. I don't think we deserved all that,
man. Yeah, dude, I'm kind of at a loss for words here. You're
flattering us.
Yeah.
Stop. Well, it's awkward.
Well, I absolutely hated it because I mispronounced one of the words and the teacher in me just screamed at me internally and with my internal monologue, like, you idiot, what are you doing that for? But welcome, guys. A lot has been going on internationally. Within the last, say, 2 to 3 weeks, there's been a massive terror attack in Russia that Thea and I mm-hmm. had a chat about on a Twitter space recently. There's been Biden not supporting Taiwan, pretty much establishing a one China policy himself. And there's been talk and whispers of the US outright stating that Ukraine will be a NATO member. So a lot has been happening since we've been trying to put this episode together, but I think we've got a hell of a smorgasbord of international policy and the path to war to unpack on this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, the news dropped today that the Biden administration may be withholding some funds and the sale of the F-15s if Netanyahu does not recognize the humanitarian crisis that he's created, or that has happened, not that he created. They didn't use those words, but which I found very interesting.
He's got strings attached, you know, he's being responsible about the F-15 sale.
So I thought you were talking about the humanitarian crisis that exists within America, but it's actually the one that he's caused in Ukraine. That's interesting.
The one that he caught, that Netanyahu has created in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip.
There's
going to be a humanitarian crisis here. Sorry to interrupt you there, buddy.
That's all right. It's an absolute clusterfuck of mental gymnastics of how these funds just manage to be allocated, not allocated, and the weasel words that these politicians use. At what point is the media just going to come out and go, this week in money laundering?
That's what it should be. I mean, it's awesome. We have our infrastructure is just falling apart all around the country, but yet we keep finding money to prop up Ukraine and send money to Israel still. It's wild.
And so something that broke today, if it wasn't today, it was either that or earlier this week, talking about big news. Well, this isn't such big news, but apparently the Russians rolled up on some Ukrainian position that they got the hell out of like quick because they were probably going to get killed. And they found this new cutting edge vehicle. Drew, perhaps you've heard of this. It was hastily buried to hide it from the Russians. Anyway, this was like a $5 million project. Patrick Lancaster reported he's been, on the ground in Ukraine since the beginning. And all it was like a souped up sheet metal vehicle with what do you want to call them, turret weapons that like interfered with each other, and it was just incredibly poorly engineered and whatnot. And the Russians that walked up on it were like, we would never go out in that thing. That's just, we would never go out in a battle in that. Did you hear about that, Drew?
I've seen a few things floating around. Was there also one that was found? Was this the completely autonomous drone vehicle? Or is this something completely different?
No, this was actually mounted, I guess, but it didn't amount to much.
I did see one of the Russians had deployed a robotic vehicle, weapons platform that had no pilot in. The Ukrainians went in to check it out, and there was no one inside.
Yeah, it was like a little unmanned tank, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Or up-armored weaponized vehicle of sorts. I'm like, that's weird.
So this takes us back to our first conversation with Drew as well, where you guys brought up the dog.
Yeah.
With the cannon, right? The autonomous dog or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, news came out as soon as, you know, we'd talked about that. And this is what an aspect of what the future war is going to look like, right?
This is this is wild, because what we're hearing, the money that's being thrown into Ukraine, and they're putting together these little just hastily put together hodgepodge vehicles, which amount to like a Robocop mechanized walker that falls down the stairs and screams. They're not doing well in the face of war, because usually weapon production has these massive leaps during wartime, and even hastily put together things end up becoming really good in the scope of war. Like during World War II, the Australian Army had the dregs of the British Army stuff and surplus from World War One. So we were still using bolt action rifles. And in the Pacific conflict, when we were fighting the Japanese, we were given the old small little platform tanks. And all that we did as a nation was line them with heavy sheet metal, put flamethrowers on the front, and then run them through the friggin' bush towards the Japanese. And they were effective. But the might of the military industrial complex of the West, pumping untold trillions of dollars into the Ukrainian war effort, gets hastily put together turret systems.
And now they have drones that have crew served weapons on them, machine guns, belt fed machine guns on them. Yeah.
Well, this is
M260, M249, something along those lines.
Well, yeah. Probably some American made ones, probably some PKMs and stuff, some Soviet era stuff. You know,
this is crazy. I'm doing a bit of research at the moment, a little citizen journalism. There's a man that lives no more than half an hour away from me in my local area, and he supposedly has a contract with Ukraine making paper drones. And this guy's name, we are like cardboard little paper drones. We are a small, tiny community. Everyone knows everyone. This guy popped up on the national news. I've been asking around. No one knows who this guy is. So I'm half sure he's a spook of some description.
There's probably a lot more of them than you think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I moved here for my job.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just making cardboard working? Drones for the war effort.
That is wild, man. That is wild.
For the war effort.
Are they like, you know, sorry.
No, I'm just laughing. Cardboard drones for the war effort. That could be another shirt for you, dude.
Are they wooden framed or anything, Drew?
I think it's balsa wood with majority cardboard. But the amount of money this guy's making, which you won't disclose, he gave this like cheeky little smirk when he was talking about it, and then went off into a serious face of, you know, he's supporting Ukrainian people from Russian aggression. Like, he's got a script. He's reading the script.
You can spot him from a mile away.
I'm a real hero.
Fighting for that Ukrainian freedom.
Well, he's got an Australian accent, though, right? So that's I'm right. A real hero, mate. What the hell are you doing?
For the war effort. That's not our war, mate. What are you doing?
No. Neither of our continents.
Right. Dude, yeah. Once again, it all boils down to... So it's so crazy. You brought up NATO, Antony Blinken.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too.
Saying that Ukraine's going to join NATO.
Will be part of NATO.
Will be part of NATO. So... It's once again, this is NATO violating their own treaty that they had with Russia after the fall of the Berlin Wall, right? Of the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people are still just like, yep, let's do it. We got to get behind these people. This is our government. We can trust them.
I think almost NATO and the US would have a much better PR campaign if they just started running Red Dawn 80 style Russia campaign media type of stuff during the height of the USSR, like 80s film propaganda. That would work a lot better than what they're currently doing. At the moment, they're outlining all the rules of the Geneva Convention, all the rules of the NATO Accords, and then in the next sentence, completely going against them. They're not even trying anymore. We need people from old school Hollywood to really push these ideas. Like, remember the old school military join the service ads, like the Marine Corps, the Navy, Army, Air Force, always. Australia had something similar. They were very macho man 80s action hero, and now they've gone so woke that no one wants to join.
It's so weird.
The war effort that they're trying to promote for Ukraine just hasn't gone that well at all.
No. In fact, I was flicking around on the internet earlier this week, and I found a video of this guy who is from literally just upriver from us on the Mississippi River in St. Paul, Minnesota. He's a hockey player. He played in the NHL for a while, but now he's playing in that. I can't remember the acronym for the league over there, but it's like widely accepted as the second best ice hockey league in the world. Well, like I said, he's from St. Paul and he's playing for a team in Moscow. He just got his citizenship
in Russia.
In Russia.
He's a U.S. born.
U.S. born in St. Paul.
Right up river. Born Russian.
And he said, he's like, the fast food is better. It's healthier. He said, the cost of living is fantastic. He's like, $5 is a great meal. And he mentioned just rounds of sanctions from the U.S. not doing anything, not doing a damn thing.
They
pegged their currency to gold.
But yeah, and this kid is just like a wholesome all-American kid, ice hockey player.
Well,
and left, man.
On Tucker's interview, he went to the grocery store just to prove a point too, and like bought dinner for everybody or lunch or something for the whole crew for like $30 or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is the thing people seem to always forget. People have such a short-term memory in the grand schemes of history. They view Russia still as the USSR, the bad guys from the Rocky movies, the bad guys from Rambo. They've got this idea and mentality of a technologically backwards country that's economically going to collapse at any moment. But you look at the grand scheme of Russia throughout history, there's the Russian Empire, the Rus' Sword Empire. Then we're moving now into the Russian Federation. The Russian Federation today more closely resembles the White Army of Russia prior to the communist takeover. And it's really
makes telling, a lot of sense.
And this is really telling that why it's such a threat to the global hegemony of the world, because it's based in orthodoxy. It's very Christian in it and nationalistic in its ethos. It's all about Russia first, make Russia great again type of a deal. But they're still trying to put this juxtaposed position on top that they're these bad Bond villains from the 80s that are going to try and launch nukes at any moment. It couldn't be further from the truth. Sure, we've got the remnants of the KGB and people running the country. You know, it's always going to happen. But on its surface, culturally and politically, it's more akin to the previous Russian empire of the Tsars more than it is communism.
Yeah. Including the poisoning of political rivals.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and taking an old school, we're going to poison your ass.
That said, for that matter, our government over here is equally as terrible when it comes to shit like that. They're probably just, I don't know if they're more secretive or what, but they're horrible about it as well. Dead people all over. Just look at certain former political dynasties. I don't even want to say their names anymore.
Well,
down there from downriver in Arkansas. You know.
That's true. We have a lot of dead friends.
Yeah.
What kind of lizard's a native to Arkansas? Maybe she's COVID.
The Hillary lizard.
The I love country music.
Floated down from Chicago.
Turds floated down from Chicago and somehow sprouted seeds and grew.
That's it.
Russia, like we've told people before, like in the beginning of the Ukraine, Russia war, whatever, They were, all the propaganda was coming out. Oh, the Russians are using Soviet era weapons because they
Right.
don't have anything better because they're stupid
Yeah.
Neanderthals.
Yeah.
And I had explained it to some people. They're like, they're getting their asses kicked by a bunch of farmers. I'm like, really? I'm like, this is the same Russia that mopped ISIS up in Syria in like 6 months when the US couldn't do it in 2 years.
I talked to a former army officer at one point in time, and he said, we'd make lightweight Russia, China. Like, what the fuck are you talking about,
Right.
dude?
Yeah. And then I have,
You were an officer in the U.S. Army?
well, and then we have, I have having to explain. Sorry, real quick, let me finish this
Go
point.
for it, mate. Yeah.
I've also had to explain that, like, Russia has been making trillions of dollars off of selling natural gas to
Yeah.
Europe for how long now?
Long time.
And you think also while the war on terror was going on and the rest of the world and allied forces were changing their military tactics, building up all their stuff, this new, like, Russia was just like, well, it's weird what those guys are doing over there.
They leave us alone, though.
But yeah, we're good. They won't mess with us. We'll just sit here with Mosin rifle and be happy.
This, like, you made a great point there where people think that they're using this Soviet era tech. Well, to a degree, they were using that tech, and it's for a good strategy. They had surplus amounts of ammunition and weapons from that
Yeah.
time they wanted to burn through. And as they were burning through those and using them in a war
Yep.
effort, they were resupplying their warehouses with all the new
Sure.
fancy shit. And this is a thing that really
Exactly.
annoyed me, even when I was in the service, is that we had all this gear. And I constantly saw stuff being decommissioned, sold to Indonesia, which is Australia's greatest threat, as far as I'm concerned, a population that trumps ours massively, has a large military, and we keep giving them supplies. I'd feel better off if we kept some of our military surplus, stored it away, just in case there's a ground invasion in the future. You can distribute that shit to the civilians, and they can do something with it. I think you're far
Yeah.
better off having a squadron of like 60 F-18s. Versus some kind of brand new drone. Like some kind of new drone could come out there and blitz everything, but it's still numbers over technology. And previous wars have proven that. How Russia's done that
Yeah.
in every single war they've been in, they just throw bodies and bodies at it. Doesn't matter if they're using sticks or
Yeah.
rocks, they still win.
You bet.
Yeah, that their
You bet.
strategy is pretty simple, but effective and deadly.
It's not that anymore, though.
No, I
So
mean, they've
they're not
adapted,
using
obviously,
wave.
but
Yeah.
yeah, dude, they've totally, the battlefield's always going to adapt to whatever technology is available to it, right? I mean, look with the IEDs and stuff in
Yeah.
Afghanistan and Iraq, held the greatest empire at bay till we gave them everything. But
That's right.
there was something you said that kind of jogged my memory there. It's Shit. Sorry, dude. I had a brain fart. Go ahead.
That's all right. I'll just add to it that what we've seen out of Ukraine is really, we've seen military drones in the past, but now we're seeing civilian-based tech being weaponized for the battlefield. Like those paper drones I was talking about, the cardboard ones, the things that we're seeing drop grenades and small explosives onto individual soldiers. And people think that
Yeah.
this is fantastic. Oh, look what the people are doing. The people are fighting Russia and winning. I've gone, yeah, that's great. But imagine what the police have stored away somewhere or what the military has in small swarms ready to deploy on civilians to squash rebellion in the future. You
No
think this is
shit.
good now? Holy shit, you have no idea
Yeah.
what's down the pipeline.
You bet. Look like frickin' Hunger Games.
Absolutely, dude. It would be horrific. I remember what I was gonna say now. With Russia, like you going back to them using Soviet era stuff. Yeah, they were. I mean, the Ukrainians were too, because they had a whole black market before selling nothing but Soviet era weapons. But I think the US might have been doing the same thing when they were giving all this ammo and all this crap to Ukraine, right? We're sending over weapons and ammo and all this other fun stuff.
Sending over Vietnam era arms.
Well, yeah, except not replenishing it.
Yeah,
I
definitely
mean,
not.
155, 155 is a 155, but yeah, like you said, doing the same thing that Russia's doing, replenishing it.
Right. From what I've heard, they're building 7 artillery shells for every one NATO shell. Can't remember the source on that, but
And this is the thing that got Ukraine caught out at the start. They thought they had this funding from NATO and the US all at once, and they got their NATO supplies, arms, but they weren't being resupplied at a quick enough rate, so that initially at the start of the war, they reverted to using that Soviet era gear because it was more plentiful. They could pilfer and pillage from the Russians on the front what they needed, because they once they ran out of NATO rounds, they were stuffed. They had nothing else to use.
Well, here's another thing, dude. A 155 rounds and 155 round, or the equivalent, whatever the Russian equivalent is. But a 7.62 is a 7.62, though. Those, you're still, it's still gonna deal out death like it's supposed to, you know,
Yeah,
no matter
absolutely.
what era. Yeah, not as efficient, but oh, it's so crazy though how this war has unfolded and how the media is still, I don't know how it is in Australia, but they're still like, Ukraine's doing a great job.
Yeah. And people look at you like you're nuts when you tell them, no, they're not. They're getting destroyed.
The scary thing is, I see it from a teacher's perspective as well, the propaganda that they're pushing through schools on this, that at the start of the war, it filtered down to a news channel called Behind the News. It's a government-funded kids' news channel, and a lot of teachers show their kids this little 10 to 20-minute little news broadcast at the end of a school day, so kids can kind of be updated and informed about what's going on in the world. When Russia and the Ukraine conflict first started the war, it was massive propaganda pounding into the heads of kids that Russia's bad and all these people are dying, and we've got these Ukrainian refugees living here while their fathers are off fighting bravely and dying. That fizzled out really quickly, and it's noticeable that it fizzled out because kids will still come up to me and ask questions about, "Hey, Mr. Misson, do you remember that war between Russia and Ukraine? Is that still happening?" And I'll go, "Yeah, man." They go, "Well, how come we haven't seen it on BTN?" I've gone, "Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's because they don't want to show you what's going on."
Good observation. Good job, kid. Hey, that's some critical thinking that kids here in America, not, you know, not all of them, but adults here aren't asking that question either.
I think that's going to be the Achilles heel for them, because they propagandize children so early, but kids are very impressionable and they grab onto things and they don't forget. So if you push one message for a 2 weeks news cycle or a year, whatever it's going to be, and then drop it completely and not acknowledge it's happening anymore, kids are going to start to see through the media bullshit and government lies a lot quicker than what we did, I think.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. I saw a Ukraine flag up on a flagpole outside of a house the other day around us. It They look brand new.
looked pretty new.
Should just pulled up and honked your horn. Get that gay pride flag off.
Yeah. No.
Nah, we don't want to skyline ourselves.
Yeah.
That'd
Yeah.
be
Yeah. This town has enough problems of its own anyway.
Yeah, man, hearing you. Now, let's just pivot to what's going on in China. Now, I know I'm probably a little bit more conspiratorial than you guys, because you guys are very grounded in the facts and the stuff that's going on, and then you'll hypothesize and use your data points and whatnot. Do you not find it at all slightly convenient or odd that Taiwan was hit by a massive earthquake no more than a few hours after Biden said he essentially would support a one China policy and Taiwan would not get the backing of the US? That Taiwan need to be self-determining. To me, with my little tinfoil hat or crown of knowledge, I'd say that almost, if you were to really go out there and into the weeds, that's an earthquake weapon that was used on Taiwan.
I mean,
I'm open to anything, man. I'll
it's a
hear it all.
possibility.
Yeah.
I would.
I mean, what would that look like? An earthquake weapon?
Yeah. I don't know. It could be frequency, light.
True.
Yeah,
But
I'm thinking
well,
it's more of that asymmetrical type of warfare. It's the subtle attacks that don't appear to the world or the world stage as a straight up kinetic conflict of jets flying in and bombing a city. It's really subtle. It's
right.
hacking events. It's knocking out power grids. It's food disruptions, political disruptions. And if they've
Hitting
got the
bridges
ability,
with boats,
yeah, exactly.
meatpacking plant burning.
Yes, if they've got the ability to initiate a seismic event, I would not at all be surprised if this is the asymmetric warfare that we're seeing that we just really haven't been told about yet.
They would do
Well,
it.
yeah. I mean, so harp, the HAARP.
Right.
Have you heard of that one
Sure
here in
have.
America?
Yeah, we've got
So,
a few of ours in the country as well.
I mean, a lot of people have a lot of theories about that, but I mean, if the government had the technology, they would absolutely. Yeah, they've proven that time and time again. Did they need to use the atom bomb?
No.
But they absolutely did twice in a row.
That's right.
Did they need to bomb, firebomb Dresden?
No.
But they absolutely did.
That's right.
So I wouldn't put it past them if they had the technology to use it to do it. I mean, we already know that they've had for a while weather modification technology. We talk about this a lot or say this a lot on the show, but reverting back to the Vietnam War, when they cloud seeded the area to cause rain across the Ho Chi Minh Trail for like ever.
Yeah, that's right.
So they went with the attempt that the North Vietnamese couldn't get supplies down
Yeah, couldn't move.
through the Ho Chi Minh
Couldn't move
Trail,
trucks,
Operation
at least.
Popeye.
Is that what that was called?
Yeah. So the cloud, so the initial
So,
cloud seeding, which
yeah.
it's in the history books, it's recorded that it works. We've got countries like the United Arab Emirates and the Saudis
Right.
cloud seeding, and it's impacting northern India and making it dry or flooding it out, depending on how much and how hard they go with it. The
Really?
aerosolized injections are a very real technology, at least to induce rain. In my country, we've got a minister for water and cloud creation. So in her portfolio, it says that she has the ability to use third parties to cloud seed to develop
Yeah.
rain fronts. And then down a little lead disclaimer at the bottom, is not held liable for any flooding or natural events caused. Well, by causing it a man-made event, it's no longer natural, you dumb bitch.
Well, this is an excellent point.
Yes, yeah. Well, when you say it like that, it makes sense. Yeah. So
from the angle that you were saying that, Drew, it would have to be like what, a Chinese attack of some sort?
You would assume so, yes. You would think that it's China going, okay, we've been given the green light by Sleepy Joe. Let's just do it.
Unlimited power. I mean, yeah, these are the type of
Good.
psychos. Yes. Feed into your hatred.
How many of the Taiwanese people want reunification, do you think? Damn it, I should have looked this up.
Well, this is a contentious issue because we're led to believe by Western media that Taiwan is all about Taiwan and the true China. But from what I see on the opposite side of that, because you really do need to look at both sides and try and find the truth somewhere in the middle, that creamy center of the Oreo, it looks like there's actually a big chunk in China now that whether they're propagandized, brainwashed, what have you, do want to be part of China now, which seems quite strange after everything we've been told for the past 20, 30 years.
Well, I wonder how much of it's bullshit, though.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be
Yeah.
bullshit on both sides. Who knows?
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've seen too much, like, from our government to, like, completely demonize the Chinese government.
Well, back once again, going back to the Vietnam War, the South Vietnamese really were happy that the US was there helping them out too, right?
Right.
Yeah,
But
that's.
that was even for like an 8% Catholic minority.
They were so happy they were executing people on the streets and watching monks set themselves on
Yeah.
fire.
Exactly. We're really glad you guys are here to help us become civilized, 'cause we're nothing but, jungle savages.
And most people can't talk about this. They have no idea. Right? All
Absolutely.
they that the yeah, all the public knows is that, these guys are bad. We're over there
It
doing good.
works well, yeah, over here,
And they continue
propaganda.
to use that over and over and over. So, like, going back to what you were saying, Theo, yeah, I mean, this very well could be propaganda. Who
Well,
knows actually what's going on?
is the policy change that's come from the White House now, whether it's just a gaffe by Biden saying this and whether it's not really the policy of the United States and the military industrial complex, is it a switch in thinking about the usefulness of Taiwan? Because Taiwan always had up its sleeve its semiconductor and silicon chip manufacturing systems for the world, the West in particular. That's what we need.
Yeah. That's right.
During Trump and his presidency, there was a big push to bring that technology and those factories back to the US and the world globally. We have since then seen a lot of new manufacturing plants pop up around the world. So is it more along the lines of that Taiwan is starting to wear out its usefulness to the West as a basis for technology because it's starting to ramp up elsewhere?
I haven't thought of it that way. I could see it, though.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I mean...
I can see it.
And once again, as soon as anybody's not useful, they don't care anymore. It's not like they actually care about you. They don't actually care about the Israeli people. John Kirby wasn't actually crying, when the Israeli civilians died,
I can see it now. It'll probably be like 3 to 5 years away, but at some point China is going to put boots on the ground or have a non-violent takeover of Taiwan and reunification will occur. And all the absolute MAGA people who are so brainwashed into the two-party system will go, oh, they're better off with China. They look like Chinese.
They all look the same anyway.
But don't underestimate how easy it is for them to be sold a war.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's too. Look what's happening with Israel.
Yes.
Can
hardly even talk about it.
I think it's a catch 22. Like you said, that you can easily be sold a war for patriotism and freedom. At the same time, mm-hmm. you can easily be brainwashed into thinking that some people don't need help and support. And we've seen that with Gaza.
You've mentioned that plenty of times.
Yeah.
When we've been together, especially, that our patriotism is our biggest Achilles heel. Or it is our Achilles heel.
Here in America. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And that's being exported to the West exponentially. Like Trump has been he's a useful idiot, but he's exported some great things to the West, I think, that it spurred this kind of post-nationalism to reoccur after the whole socialist democracy's kind of taken the West by plague proportions. People are starting to think more traditionally, which is great. They're starting to think more nationally. But we know how easily that can be manipulated in the case of promoting war or sending young men off to die for foreign wars, because we've watched that as a foreigner. I've watched that happen in the US within the past 30 years. And to see it weaponized to such a degree, that's a dangerous place to go to. So it's definitely a balancing act, but how far do they go with it? That's the question.
You know, that reminds me of when we were on that Twitter space a couple weeks ago, which was a lovely place, and it was awesome. But one thing that Mad said was, I think she thought I was under the illusion that you guys can't own firearms. No, I know you guys can't own firearms, but I think she underestimates the extent to which Americans own firearms.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking like... There's a lot of shit. It would blow a lot of people's minds if they knew just what is sitting in houses around here.
Around our country, yeah, especially...
Fucking arsenals.
Yeah. Well, remember, there was in the beginning of the... I think... Syria and ISIS started popping off, and I believe it was ABC ran this video. They're like, attack ISIS, attack Syrian military, blah blah blah, whatever, showing these machine guns firing, like tons of machine, like a whole line of machine guns firing off. I'm like, whoa, geez. And then I was like, I think I've seen this video somewhere. And then come to find out, that was a machine gun shoot down in Missouri, a bunch of private Missourians, and they were doing a night shoot. So a bunch of them had tracers and stuff. So it was like, it was legit, like 20 machine guns online, all different types of machine guns are going off. And then ABC was like, oops, sorry about that. I'm like, yeah, who the hell is screening this shit?
That is the wild dialectic, like you mentioned, where Mads had that misconception that Americans
have guns. Yeah, not calling her out.
But no, she's not fantastic. Calling her out. where
Yes.
Australians, general Australians, think that Americans have firearms but don't understand the length and capacity of which they have them and the numbers. And then so generalized Americans think we don't have guns at all. And the
Right.
dialectic of that is Australians who don't own firearms, who know me with the guns I've got, think I'm a redneck. Americans would think it's baby's first gun collection in comparison.
I mean,
A lot of
People would.
American.
Not every
There's still a
American.
lot. Yeah, I've met people that are like just afraid of guns
Yeah.
because of movies they've seen and they're told in school that guns are bad. Okay.
People
I'm
don't kill
telling you,
people,
there are.
guns kill people.
That's
Yeah.
right. There's people that, I mean, there are otherwise law-abiding citizens these days in the United States that are like, fuck yeah, I have shit that they don't know about.
Why would they tell people that?
All over the place. Just friends and whatnot. Banter that goes on about.
Talking about a documentary you've seen?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, well, they do have the ability to buy an 80% lower and mill it out themselves and then just buy all the other parts for an
Yeah.
AR and then they have a no
Yeah.
serial number.
We would never recommend anybody does any of this, by the way.
Right. But at the same time, though, it's really not the government's business to know, like, what you have and stuff or whatever. But
Technically,
then
legally,
at the
it's
same
not.
time, though, we do have loose cannon, weird stuff, like that one deaf soldier that shot up that bowling alley. That was really weird. I don't know how he was still active military if he was
Had
deaf in
hearing
both
aids.
ears, yeah, and hearing aids,
That's
but.
probably disability inclusion, the IED shit that's going around.
Yeah, you can't kick me out
You
on a
dumped me
grenade
out.
range
just because I can't hear. Yeah. Oh, it's. But yeah, I mean, Americans have a lot of stuff, dude. But like I said, all those guys that have all that crazy stuff. There was the Vegas shooting. Supposedly, there were what the one guy used bump stocks on his ARs.
Right.
Sound like machine guns going off.
That didn't sound like,
That's a whole other thing, though.
yeah.
But those people that were on that machine gun shoot in Missouri, guess what? Never had any problems. Never have they shot up a school with machine guns or anything like that. They only fire them off at those ranges legally. They're law-abiding citizens. Those are like class three FFLs, I think, and stuff they have to have. So like the government knows everything they own,
Right.
right? And they're not out breaking the law with these crazy weapons.
That there's one little piece of movie history that I think really shows the extent of the amount of firearms that are hidden away in America. That's Terminator 2 Judgment Day. You know, when they go down to like Texas or New Mexico and they pull back the
Yeah.
sheet and there's just guns in this bunker under the ground.
I
That's
know I
just the
always
average.
dreamed of finding a bunker like
That is
that
just. There are average American citizens who love their guns who have large collections like this. Whereas in Australia,
as a kid.
when I had to get my first firearm, it was a 30-day cooling off period and background check. And then anytime I apply for a new firearm, it's a 7-day wait until I can pick it up. It's not like America where you can just walk on in and depending on the states, of course, and just grab stuff and go home with it.
Well, it
Yeah.
can very easily be a 3 day.
Well, yeah, depending on what kind of license you have.
A lot of counties, I can't say most these days, but in a lot of counties in the United States, you have to already be cleared through the sheriff's department or something like that.
Yeah, with like a permit to purchase.
Yes. The FBI is going to do a background check on you.
Yeah,
There's no
there's no
loophole. That
loopholes.
doesn't exist. It's all lies.
You have to fill out ATF forms and all this stuff.
Nobody fucks around like that.
Except for apparently gangbangers,
Well, sure, yeah.
and MS-13.
Isn't it weird that all the crimes are committed by criminals with unregistered guns? It's almost as if like gun laws and gun restrictions have no impact on crime levels.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Well, if gun
And
laws work, Chicago would be the safest city on earth.
yes.
You mean
There's
it's
like,
not?
there's like. Dude, there was like double digit murders on Easter weekend, dude, up Chicago this year.
And then Drew, check this out. So we live pretty close to Illinois, across the Mississippi River, and even in like rural redneck, some of the most poorest shit in the United States, just country backwoods stuff you've seen in Illinois, they have to have an ID card to buy ammo.
Just to buy ammunition.
Just to buy ammo, which is foreign to most of the most other states.
That's actually worse than Australia. I can walk into the gun shop and just buy ammo without showing a license. That's wild.
Not in Illinois. And that's just because of Chicago.
Illinois, so down, little Australia.
Yeah, the southern tip, the southern tip of Illinois down by Kentucky and Tennessee, you got to have an ID card to buy ammo.
But you can go across the state line and buy them in Tennessee or Kentucky and buy whatever you want. Yeah.
They don't give a shit.
Like, this here's America, son.
Just come on across the river. Come on across the river.
You know, I know you're only a 17-year-old boy, but you know what? Here, have this beer with your first purchase of your firearm.
Certain parts down
there. A shot of whiskey is go with it. Drive safe going home now.
It really sells that idea from the trailer, Civil War, when the guy's like, oh, no, it's okay, we're Americans. Oh, yeah, what kind of Americans?
That Fallout Boy looking guy?
Yeah.
The glasses, yeah. Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, oh, well, that's crazy. Right on the heels of Obama's Leave the World Behind.
Yeah, what a big coinkydink that is.
Right. Which, you guys did a fantastic job, by the way.
Ah, thank you.
On that breakdown.
It's they might as well just call this Civil War Part 2, and because that's the message they're really trying to push across. They want a destabilized, ununified US. They just keep stoking that flame of division, right?
They got it.
Yeah, and I've been saying that for years. Like, it's literally, it's easier. And you look at the Georgia Guidestones, not, you know, not to put on my tinfoil hat, but in all reality, it's easier for, I guess, the powers that be, the people that rule this world, this realm, these elitist, scumbag, royalist. It's way easier for a couple million of us to kill each other off than it would be for them. You know,
Zbigniew Brzezinski said so much
to go. Oh, really? Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said there once was a time where it was easier to control a million people than to kill a million people. And that paradigm is changing.
Yeah. Well, there was the mob rule kind of outbreak and civil disturbances in the cities in the early industrial age, where the go-to for the elites of the time was to pay one mob to kill the other mob off so that they wouldn't be killed. And most of the time, they just took the money and killed each other.
Prison rules, bitch.
Yeah.
That's it. This is our police department.
Oh, my gosh.
And illegal casino.
Yeah, that's... It's so crazy. And like I said, we just did a show on police corruption. Mississippi Goon Squad.
Yeah.
The no bad mug shots.
Bad.
Is it where they have to put like Lego faces and stuff over people's faces because of the laws around not having people disclosed who have committed crimes now in some states? Have you seen that one?
No.
There was OBDM did a great story on it, and it was a sheriff's department, can't recall the state, this is killing me now, that because of a law change couldn't actually show mugshots of people anymore, so they were using Lego faces and putting them over the top. And we're using like emoticons and all those types of things and taking the piss out of people's crimes.
No, that's funny. No, this was, it was pretty horrific. We'll let people go listen to the show, but it involves some cops, some deputies, sheriff's deputies that thought they were the bee's knees being run by this father figure type who's been on the force for like 20 something years. Apparently, these two black men were living with this white woman in the neighborhood they shouldn't been living in.
Yeah, it was. They done complained.
Neighbors complained.
To the police department.
There's these thugs living over here with this white girl.
There's these black men living with these white women.
And yeah, it was like Mississippi burning. They're like, oh, hell no. Not in my county, boy.
So cops took care of it.
Yeah, they went down there.
Well, now they're going to prison. So just listen to the episode.
Yeah, it involves torture. They went in there.
Sex toys. God, just listen to it.
I'm going to have to. I can imagine it's like one of those Time Life movies where the cops walk in and go, you done paid the toll, girl.
Yeah.
You're a coal burner.
Yeah, it's exactly that, dude. And then they were like, yeah, you boys done messed up. And
Pretty much. One of them got shot in the mouth. We can't keep telling you. There's
yeah,
so much. There's
like I
so
said,
much.
involves
It's horrible.
tasers, beatings, and sex toys. No cops were harmed. Don't worry.
And you see, listeners, if you haven't listened to these guys before, this is why I listen, because you get the real news out of the United States, not the bullshit that we get in our heavily filtered Australian government funded crap. We get real stories out of the US from these guys. This is what I love. I don't love the content of the
Oh,
stories. It's fucking
thanks, man.
horrifying, but it certainly is interesting.
Yeah, and we also try to look up a lot of underreported stuff too, and talk about that doesn't really make its rounds through a lot of the mainstream media as well. So,
Yeah, and definitely don't involve ourselves in the group think.
yeah,
And I
you've got to be
mean,
like that, mate. Absolutely.
yeah,
Yeah,
that's long gone.
just on the topic of police, I want to get your guys' take on this. This is my impression of the United States police force. The entry requirements traditionally haven't been quite that high. My impression of the people that I see go into the police force, not all, of course, but this is just a generalized brushing of police force in the United States. You've got that many different jurisdictions. You've got sheriff's department, state police, highway patrol, feds, all these people stepping on each other's toes. So that's an issue in the first place. Then the types of people that I see go into the US police force are not to sound snobby at all, but a lot of uneducated guys, a lot of ex-veterans who have got some huge amounts of trauma going on that probably shouldn't be in the line of duty because they're used to fighting the enemy, not policing civilians. Then you've got the idea of the high school bully who didn't succeed in life, and the next thing you did was continue to be a bully by having a badge on. The old failed football star that blew his knee out at the game is now in the sheriff's department or in the state police force. Is that a true assertion, or is that more of a media propagandize that the rest of the world seems to get of American police force?
Well, that's pretty close. There's a lot of that, the truth into that, what you said there. There are guys out there just like that. I mean,
Yeah. Well,
stereotype.
as if you listen to that episode, you'll hear.
Well, but also I know a lot of guys that are veterans, that are police that are, I mean, they're, as far as I know, I mean, I don't live around them, but, they're good to go guys. Other dudes, not so much that I'm and ended up going off and being a police officer. And I'm like, well, how interesting. Must have enjoyed your power trip that you're having in the
Yeah.
Marine Corps and wanted more.
I've met people for sure and known people, been acquainted with people that ended up becoming cops, and it was like, what in the hell?
But then I also know personal guys that are great, great dudes, great
Yes.
human beings.
Yes.
Met some men of God,
You
great,
bet.
and they're just like, I, some of it's family tradition. Some of it is they would just want to help out their community. They're
Yeah.
like, I love this community that I'm in. I want to do something good for it. And
For the most part, if you like, if they catch you and you take your lick for whatever they catch you doing,
yeah.
it sucks. I mean, you can fight it in court. Go ahead. But if you take it and you're just respectful to them, I really hate to say they are just doing their job, but like where we're at, you get a mixed bag, but they're pretty good.
Yeah,
But in a
there's
place like LA or Houston or New Orleans, like that's a totally different thing. Like we wouldn't know anything about that.
never know
And
what you're gonna get.
don't get me wrong. I think a lot of police are well-intentioned, good community-based people, like you said, have a family history of being in the force that go into it for the
Yeah.
right purposes. But then again, there's people out there who should not have the right to kill you or stick a finger up your ass legally.
It could
Right.
certainly attract psychopaths, but if you
And
can see that.
absolutely. Yeah. And it does,
Yes.
unfortunately. And, excuse me.
Whoa,
Sorry.
buddy.
I apologize. I had a little gas. No, It's really sad because it's like anything, dude. One bad apple can ruin 1,000 attaboys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like, we have a lot of media that likes to put the black eye out there on police officers and stuff and everything. Like, but around like our community, I mean, we've had it before where cops, police officers do fundraising events. They help out with the Toys for Tot things. They do stuff for like single mothers in the communities and everything. I mean, but does that mean they're all good people?
No.
And have they?
No, we've had issues.
Yeah. Have they done messed up stuff? Yeah. I mean, we have our bad apples out here in this area too.
Yeah.
Well, just to bring it back around to what you said, TP, you mentioned before about the example of the deaf serviceman who went nuts with a gun, right? The media always seems to put out those bad apples, and it's quite telling at the moment that they're putting out the bad apples of servicemen or ex-servicemen, using them as an example for why there needs to be greater gun control in the States. But the recent International Trans Day of Visibility, well, they're the most visible people in our community, arguably, because they are knuckle-dragging men with wigs on and purple hair. And
no shit.
There's been a lot of them that have shot schools up recently, so I think they're the most visible people around. Do they really need more visibility? They seem to point out the ex-servicemen and people like that for gun control, but they don't point out the flavor of the month that is that the alphabet people.
Yeah, they've been after veterans for a long time. Back in 2013 or 14, one of our senators had like a 16-hour filibuster because our Department of Homeland Security came out with a
Rand Paul.
It was Rand Paul. I had a white letter that was basically like, here's the greatest threats to America. Number one, returning veterans of war.
Yeah,
of a foreign war.
The Obama administration.
Yeah. Number two, returning veterans of a foreign war that own firearms. Number three, returning veterans of foreign wars that have food in their house. like all this craziness, dude.
That are some, have food like in stores. Their house.
Dude, well, because all like some of the stuff on here is like certain things that might make you a possible terrorist to the United States is like having more than like 5 days worth of food in your house.
Yes.
And that, having more than one firearm, having more than like 10 rounds of ammunition per firearms or whatever, like craziness. And Rand Paul, like if your ammunition is weatherproof, which a lot of people do that, it's called an ammo can. You know what I mean? The military does it.
This is the clown world we live in, though. We live in a world where push-ups are racist, penises cause climate change, and the biggest risk to America are its ex-servicemen.
Yeah.
Propaganda.
Well, and here's the thing, though, because there's a lot of guys, like, one of the things on there they were talking about, too, is like, yeah, a lot of these people are trained in guerrilla warfare tactics and yada, 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 all this and that. We're like, yeah, because we're in unconventional warfare. Yeah, because we were fighting an unconventional enemy. So the best way to fight your enemy is to know your enemy. And now you're like, we didn't ask for that training. You gave it to us. Now, like, we're the problem here. Like, what the hell? Well, maybe here's the other thing. Like, I heard this one YouTuber say it. He's like, the only reason they would have to fear their veterans is if they're doing shit to piss their veterans off. Like, you know, shit they're doing now about wiping their ass with the Constitution.
He swore an oath to defend your country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Government seems to have a history of tyranny around the world, and they eventually will step on people's toes. And they are the last people you want to piss off, as the people that do have the training, the ability and the pride in one's nation to actually try and defend it.
Right.
Right.
I mean, and I would hate for that to ever happen in our country. Well, you know what I mean? That'd be terrible. That'd be...
Seems like there's a lot of soft disclosure.
Well, and like I said, also, that's an agenda they're pushing.
Well, yeah.
Media.
Well, looking at... And Mads alluded to this as well, Theo, that the number of illegals that are crossing the border into the US on a daily basis, and even via flights and just coming in like the soft way and staying, these people are getting into the United States. A lot of them are from foreign nations, nations that don't speak, have English as a first language. If these people in the millions now somehow get fast-track citizenship via service in the American armed forces, you've got a parallel to history of the Roman Empire when they had the Visigoths and the Gauls make up the bulk of the military in Rome. And that's how empires fall. Empires don't fall from the barbarians at the gates. They fall when they open the gates and let them in.
Right. And absolutely.
The same, America today is like Rome at its peak of its hedonism and its self-destruction, where everyone supported Rome when it was raping and pillaging the world. Just like in contrast, everyone supported America when they were giving freedom to the world. And now that they're
freedom. Now freedom fries, damn it.
Now that they're not really doing that, it's not in vogue anymore. So we're seeing those rhyming aspects of history repeat from the old Roman Empire into the new with the Anglo-American Empire.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre to watch. Theo and I have said this years ago, you know, it's almost we're witnessing the death throes of an empire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Babylon. And as far as World War III goes, I mean,
we're fucked.
We, our best bet is to, for our country, dude, is to come home and defend our borders and whatnot.
All right. Yeah. So we put a lot of legwork in kind of going around touching a whole heap of subjects, but let's touch on World War III. And you guys have been doing this fantastic series where you're keeping up with conflicts around the world and how those could escalate and go into a further global conflict akin to a World War III. Where do you see it coming from? What do you think at this point in the game, after the events of the last couple of weeks, what do you think is the catalyst for a global escalation between the West and other foreign powers?
First, I'm going to say is we're probably wrong, because so far everything, like, just things are just coming out left field and stuff that we didn't really see, you know, but
we're wrong on a lot of shit, whatever.
But it's always fun to talk about. So, Theo, you want to take this first?
Well, no, I just think that the Israel targeting of Iran, that's direct provocation.
Quids.
So, yeah, the Quds or whatever. So what? And then, you know, State Department officials or something like that, I think, elsewhere. Bombing of Damascus. The Iranians killed there. So that's close. They do a ton of business with the Russians. We've talked long and hard about how our government has demonized Iran.
And the only reason they're pissed off at us is because, you know, we just tried to enslave them. No big deal.
Yeah. You know, sorry that
the Shah was the greatest leader of all times. Why didn't you like him?
Got rid of Mossadegh in, what, 53? Yeah. Why?
Alan Dulles and his brother Dick.
Why do they hate us? And most Americans don't know, Drew. They don't
really
know.
Don't.
Why the Iranians hate us? Well, because we overthrew their fucking government.
Because we wanted their oil.
Yeah. They didn't see any of that money for themselves. It all went to the UK.
Yeah, and they realized that their leader was a Western puppet. But anyways, we regress. Sorry. You got us fired up here. You got us fired up.
Well, you know, you look at any photos from like the 60s and 70s, you look at most of the Middle Eastern countries, they look very westernized. Women in dresses, they show skin, they're drinking alcohol, they're having a good time. And then there was a little bit of a insurgency and uprising that was 100% done by the CIA intelligence operatives around the world to destabilize the region.
No, these were religious zealots, dude.
Oh, yes,
come on.
No. There weren't guys wearing beards and face makeup at all. God, look at Lebanon. Lebanon is a country that has in its constitution the leader must be a Christian. And it was a nation that was called the Paris of the Middle East. It was a mecca for people to go on holiday and see. And now look at it. They got bombs going off in ports, all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're getting bombed right now in southern Lebanon by Israel, right? That's Hezbollah.
Israel's like just lashing out at everybody. Get back, motherfucker.
They're like, we didn't think. They're not just like putting their finger up to the kid's face and saying, well, I'm not touching you.
Yeah, they're
like punching him in the face.
Yeah, poking him in the eye.
Looking and like, what?
They're giving you something. An open hand slap and going, you're an anti-Semite.
Yeah. Right.
And so, yeah, things very well. I mean, that's
my take on where I think I could see it coming from.
So, and here's the other thing. We've said it before. Israel has like 300 something nukes.
Yeah.
Nuclear warheads.
Scary.
That's the reason why they're swinging their uncircumcised schlongs around.
What? The hell?
They're swinging their schlungs around into people's faces right now. I don't know, dude. But who do you think Russia is going to support?
As far as what?
Iran? Or Israel, Iran.
Iran.
Duh.
100%.
Yeah, I think that Russia has a deep-seated history of a certain small-hatted people sticking their noses in their business to the country's detriment. Like, look at the hierarchy of the Bolsheviks. A lot of those were ethnic and cultural Jews that kind of fucked their country over for well over a decade, over decades, and didn't go well for them. I think they're once burnt, twice shy when it comes to policy of Israel.
Yeah, they would definitely side with Iran. Russia would support them. They already are, right? I mean,
100%.
China, they, in my personal feeling, and we've mentioned it on our show before, the U.S. has already deemed basically any BRICS country and ally as a axis of evil.
I mean, they might as well.
We've heard reporters talk about it. Anchors, I mean, news anchors, CNN, I think, said some shit about it. But
which is weird because of all the business that we do with Brazil.
But
and India. India globally is
in India.
Economic powerhouse.
But
and
India,
Russia?
India loves China, though, dude.
Yeah, weird.
I mean,
and India also loves Israel. So there's this weird kind of political friendships that kind of go against
and Russia
policy. Yeah, right?
We love everybody.
Yeah, they even said after the outbreak of the, or after Russia went into Ukraine, that no, they can't condemn Russia. They depend on them for their defense. You know, aircraft and things like this.
See, that's
go ahead.
Sorry. I think India is probably going to be a much bigger player in any kind of global conflict in the future, just based on their emergence of being a superpower. They've got nukes. They've got a large military. Sure. They're constantly
They got a lot of people.
Potential. They're moving into this age of Hindu supremacy over there, where it's Hindu nationalism first above all else. Like the Sikhs are getting hammered pretty hard via their ideology and their wanting of a free state. So,
really?
Yeah, and I think that in itself is being pushed by some bad elements over there. There's communist states that exist in India. That
sure.
At odds with the Hindu nationalism. So if those things don't play out and India manages to pull itself up by its bootstraps and become a real contender on the international scene, I think that's the dark horse you really need to watch out for. Not that I don't think they'd actually instigate anything, but if they were drawn into a conflict, they're going to bring a lot to bear with what they've got.
Do you think they would split into parts?
Potentially, if it goes down the way of like an Arab Spring type of event where you've got subversive elements being funded to cause dissidents within a state, then there'd be issues. But if it was a nationalized, completely backed nation in a war type of event, they're a big player.
Yeah, one criticism that I've heard of their military is that they lack commonization.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's sort of equipped willy-nilly with different equipment,
whatever you want.
They're doing Call of Duty. You just pick your.
I mean, yeah, from probably without. I mean, yeah, not that armory. available.
I'm bringing the noob tube.
Yeah. So they lack uniformity. Obviously, they have American aircraft, Russian aircraft, you name it. So that goes all the way down to the rifles. So I just put that into perspective. What else is affected by that?
Yeah, even via, like I said, the states. Each state almost has its own surplus and its own manufacturing that goes into certain efforts. Like you said, you can go from one area and one battle rifle could be completely different from another in a different region. So if
Sure.
something did happen, the ability, unless they've all got the same caliber across the board, they're going to encounter some issues there. But I think it's people called. America, Japan called America the sleeping giant on the Pearl Harbor. I think India's the sleeping giant economically, militarily, and geopolitically in a lot of ways. But
I think you're right.
sorry there, TP. You were I interrupted you. You're still rounding out where you think your idea of a Third World War would kind of instigate from, and who would be the catalyst for that.
TP stepped out to take a leak,
Of course he
so
did.
he can
TP's doing a pee-pee.
yeah, he is. And in fact, my barn cat is sitting in the seat right now, so
What's the cat's name?
Sonny.
Sonny, what's your take on this?
He
His
doesn't
row.
give a shit. He doesn't give a shit. Yeah, he's a lion. No, we can get his opinion on that when he comes back,
Yeah,
but
beautiful. But I think for the West, it's not going to be the West being attacked openly or drawn into a conflict. I think it's
No.
going to be a necessity of a collapse economically. There's going to be a collapse which is going to affect the majority of the West all at the same time, almost like a global financial crisis 2.0, but far worse.
Yes.
It's probably going to impact at the same time increased weather conditions, air quotes, climate change, and food insecurity, which is going to kind of hasten and bring about a
We're gonna
conflict that
taste
we're going
it.
to be in. Yeah, we're all going to feel it.
That's right. So we got TP back from his pee-pee for his opinion. But one thing that I wanted to say before you ask him that is the difference between India and somebody else like China, obviously, in my opinion, is that China is so much more well organized. They're producing so much more. Their military doesn't have the problem that the Indian military has. You know, they're much more in line in for
They
growth.
have discipline.
Yeah, in my opinion. And they're not a sleeping giant. They're a giant. And everything's going to be honed in over the next, well, you know, century, we might say, or whatever. They're gonna get it down.
Yeah, for sure. And I think China's at that make or break type of a point now. They can see the writing on the wall for the West. And
That's right.
if they don't make a move within the next 10 years, it's not going to be good for China's policy of what they want to achieve globally. And they've been very open about what they want to achieve. It's not just China itself, it's China itself and their influence. They want to replicate in a way what the Anglo-American Empire, the British have done, but in their own means.
Yeah, it would only make sense for them to side with Russia. It wouldn't make any sense to continue to stick with America and sell us cheap goods if war were to break out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's I think that the idea of relying on, say, China and the Third World for cheap, useless electronic crap, when's it going to reach the breaking point of like the Sega Genesis or no, the Atari model? Remember when the Atari came out in the 80s and every fucker went out and bought it, and then the next year
Yeah.
there was no one left to buy it, so they saturated the market and collapsed overnight, essentially. When does that happen with technology? Like, I know they keep bringing out the new model and the new this and the new that, but at what point are people going to wake up and go, I don't need 12 televisions. I've already got
Right.
three. Like, why do I have to keep buying more? This idea
Oh,
of
I know.
projected profit margins and keep improving each year, eventually you're going to flood the market with product to the point where people don't need it. And I think that's where the usefulness of China falls away and they have to pivot away from being a manufacturing hub for the West.
TVs are a perfect example. Just 5 years ago, like a 75-inch TV was going to cost you $800,000, depending on whatever you want, right? If not more. Now, I think you can get on Walmart or Amazon, buy a 75-inch smart television, 4K, ultra, whatever, high def, blah, 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 all the fanciest shit for like $500. Because, like you said, they saturated the market. And I don't know, dude. America seems to love the just the consumerism lifestyle. We just love to consume, right? And they even make stupid songs about it. I see it, I want it, I buy it, or whatever, or got it. That stupid, you know, yeah, what song I'm talking about?
I do.
Is that Ariana Grande?
The greatest series, which is almost like a mockumentary, is Mad Men, of how the advertising executives use psychology on the US population to sell product. It's that crony capitalism, getting people to buy things they don't need or want. It's convincing them that they need it and want it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mark Dice talks. He always goes out, or he used to. I don't know if he does it anymore, but on like Black Friday, he'd drive past people standing in line. He's like, with a loud mic on his car, he's like, good job buying crap you don't need with money you don't have, because I know most of you are putting this on your credit card. But it's so true. And there, you know, a bunch of people, F you, man. Scream shit at him. But it's like,
before you stepped,
he's not wrong.
Not at all. Before you stepped out for your tinkle, and while you're away,
which I apologize, dude, okay. This has happened like the last three interviews that we've did. I'm like, okay, I think I'm good. Let me go. He's not going to ask me a personal question. I really got to piss.
That's all right.
And we then sure shit.
Theo's cat stepped up. He said some very distasteful anti-Semitic things. Some things I have to probably check right out.
But Sonny, you know, Sonny was in your chair.
Well, Sonny is a ginger, so.
He's a ginger. Hence the name Sonny.
I was going to bring it around back to the question I initially asked, because I jumped in and started going on a rant, but what is the catalyst nation that you think would start a third world war?
Oh, that's a tough one, man. And I've been trying to think about that. Honestly, I have been reading stuff and thinking about it, and I don't know. It's so hard right now. I hate to say it, but it starts with an I, ends with an L.
With the full backing of the Estados Unidos.
Yes. I don't know, dude. At this point in the game, it's really hard for me to even try to call this, because it could happen. I don't think it's going to be what everybody thinks it's going to be. Honestly, I think when it does happen, if it does happen, which Lord willing it doesn't, but I have a bad feeling it's going to, we're not going to know. It's going to be totally to the quote unquote allied countries. We are going to be giving one script read to us, and the other side is going to get their script read to them, just like what happened in the last two world wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I always used to think that we are far more knowledgeable as a population and civilian base now that we would be able to see through the propaganda. But then COVID happened.
No.
And even right. The best of it, yeah. Even the best of us, even yes. The best of us initially at the start went, oh, fuck, there's a global pandemic. And then only over time, people kind of woke up and started to question the narrative around it. But I think it's very much the same. If some kind of global war was initiated, like you said, the script would be pushed out across all of our media platforms. Our talking heads would say it. And probably a lot of us initially would buy it to a degree, because so much would be put in our face about it.
Absolutely.
As far as I'm concerned, it's already happened in the United States, because we learned everything in 2020, right? We get all of these, you know, TP has to sneeze so bad right now. There you go. Did you get it out, buddy?
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Dick. So all of the Republicans and the conservatives, you know, they don't trust the government, all this bullshit. And then we keep going on and yeah, we don't know what's happening in Ukraine. We don't need to support them.
And then like Israel happened.
October 7th.
We got to kill Hamas. Oh,
shit. Damn it. I was fooled for a second. That's pretty much how it, that's how the, it feels.
Well, once again, dude, you look at Q. People still, I'm sorry for any of our listeners that like Q. I'm just saying, I think it's for all we know, I was actually talking to, I texted Drew missing with that Tehran Times cover, right?
A storm that is coming.
The storm is coming. The Q'd soon.
The Q'd
soon. And I was like, oh shit. Q was Iranian intelligence the whole time.
That would be deliciously poetic, and it'd be so funny.
That would be like, I'm not even mad now.
You're like, yes. Oh my goodness.
Just some guy named Omar sitting in a little fucking office block somewhere in Tehran.
Yeah. And the council being like, good job. You're definitely getting a bunch of virgins when you get to heaven, man. Right. Yeah. But I've heard, and I don't know how deep some people are into it, but I've heard some stuff like Putin is part of Q or whatever. But like, it's like, no, man, we all got bamboozled that believed in that stuff, right? I say we, because at first I was like, oh, this might be legit. And then I was like, no, it's not. But then people got mad at me for saying that.
Yes, you can't question certain things even amongst the truther community anymore. It's we had this uniting capacity around COVID where everyone came together from different camps. You had the Q people, you had the alien people, you had governments trying to kill us people. Everyone coalesced and we had this common enemy and everything was hunky-dory. Then these little conflicts kicked off and the division got further and further apart even amongst our so-called freedom movements, which is, it's quite concerning about how easily we are swayed via a perception drop. I think you're actually right, TP, yeah, that a certain country that has a white and blue flag with blue strips on each end, which represent the Jordan and the Nile, are going to push their borders a bit further, because why would their flag have that represent it when their country does not include the Nile? You have to question that.
Yeah. They're getting ready to do the red heifer ceremony. The Mount of Olives overlooking the temple foundation and the dome on the rock.
And all the,
like I said,
all the evangelicals are, they're bringing Jesus back. Woohoo!
Hey, does that flag, man,
the rapture's coming, we're gonna get sucked up.
Does that flag also have the Star of Ramtha on it?
Yeah, he said that.
No, that's right, there you go, sorry, I didn't hear it. Yeah,
it's almost anyway, as if they're trying to show us the satanic state. Weird.
Wow.
A synagogue of Satan.
Funny that you mentioned those red heifers, because under the belief system, the heifers have to be pure and perfect in every single way. So that's why, allegedly, they haven't actually sacrificed the heifers to bring around their Messiah, Antichrist, because they haven't been perfect. There's been issues with them. The hair's not right. It might have a bowed leg or something. But they've perfected that with CRISPR technology. These red heifers that they have currently are genetically altered and changed to be perfect. So it's quite interesting that to bring around a antichrist kind of techno-globalist world of leadership, they're using genetically modified animals as a sacrifice. That's entirely Hollywood satanic in every single trapping that it's being presented in.
Yes. Gotcha. I was going to say, that's, wouldn't that be blasphemy?
You would assume.
And especially, so. Especially if they do have the ashes. So every, this goes all the way back to Moses's time, right? This is Mosaic law, right? Drew, you know this probably, I'm sure. Theo knows this, I think, too. Supposedly, they still have the ashes from the first red heifer that Moses sacrificed, that these ashes of these red heifers are going to be mixed with. So that on a symbolic level, that is kind of significant, you would think, right?
Yeah, I would.
What do you think about that, Drew?
It's very what's the word I'm trying to find? It's very almost metaphysical. They're using something that has been sacrificed and almost trying to infuse that same sacrifice, that energy, with what has happened originally, with the perverted inversion of what they've got now. Because you would assume a red heifer from back in the day was a pure and perfect being of its creation, because it's so back far in history, and it was sacrificed to a god because it was perfect and pure. And now we've got this inverted, bastardized version that's being used to bring about a messiah that is not Christ in any capacity. They've disavowed Christ. They don't believe in Christ. And it's their messiah that they're trying to bring back. So,
and all sorts of Christians love it and they buy it.
It's crazy. It's like they've not read the scriptures at all. It's quite concerning. They just, like you said, they just want to be
concerning.
They just want to float up to the sky like the $6 million men.
I'm saved. Joel Osteen told me I would be. Yeah. Yeah, it is quite concerning, dude. And it kind of goes back to the, you know, when Genesis 6 experiment, where the angels try to corrupt the image of the Most High and mated with the daughters of man, right? So they're once again trying to take, okay, this is post-flood stuff. We, because of the judgment of the angels that sinned was so great, they weren't going to do the same thing they did last time. So they're trying to come up with other ways to thumb their nose and corrupt the Holy of Holies type stuff, right?
Yeah, I think every generation's probably said this, that they thought they're on the precipice of Judgment Day and the return of Christ.
Yes.
But it seems a heck of a lot like it's really going to be this generation or our kids that are going to experience that.
Yes, because said that before.
It may not organically happen the way it's supposed to, but there's a certain side in this spiritual war which really seemed to be pushing it and trying to instigate it.
Yes.
Well, and I believe there was a prophecy when this generation starts seeing these certain things happen, you know, the whole thing's going to come in their generation. Before they pass away, they're going to see the whole tribulation unfold if they're still around.
Always been my fear when it comes to that type of stuff, even like a global war. I felt in my bones that something's going to happen in my lifetime, but it'll occur when I'm too old to do anything about it, like too old to pick up a gun and fight, or too old to help my family members or anyone around me. My greatest fear is it's going to happen when I'm an invalid old man and just have to sit back and watch the world burn.
Get out of my head, Drew.
Yeah,
no, that's something I'm afraid of too.
Yeah, likewise. At the same time, what can we really do about it?
Yeah,
because we know it's going to happen, and we know how it ends. Is the most important thing, and that's with Christ reigning over all. I mean, he already does,
right? So. But getting to that point, the road to that spot is going to be pretty wild. And I think Drew, we've talked about before, you know, the temple rehabilitation society or whatever that they have in Israel. You know about them?
I sure do. Practically built in like block sections, and they just have to airlift it up.
Everything's prefabbed. All the interior stuff they have purchased, it's all ready to go. And things are really going to accelerate when they bulldoze the temple, the dome of the rock on
the rock. There's your third war. Absolutely. Third World War.
Yeah, I don't. And there's a lot of fundamentalists which have been made by the intelligence community and kind of brainwashed into that thinking that as soon as that collapses and falls, they're going to be up for a global jihad.
There it is.
Yeah, and that could very well kick off a world war.
And people say it's racist to say that Islamists are reproducing and white Westerners are not. No, that is a statistical fact.
Go forth and be fruitful.
Yeah, well, they are. Muslims and folks from the Middle East have been.
That's like the one good thing the Catholics got right.
it took other Christians to introduce it to women, though. The Catholics kind of stuck to altar boys.
Yeah, I took the Lutherans. Thanks, Martin Luther.
It's funny.
I think that's the interesting thing, the difference between Christianity and Islam. Islam has not been unapologetic about it being a global religion. Their goal was to have Islam as the religion of the world. It's part of their doctrine, and every Muslim, it's their task to put forward Islam to the rest of the world and encourage more people to become Muslims. Christianity, on the other hand, doesn't have a, air quotes, nation itself. You could argue it's the Holy Land, but semantics there. Christianity is within each individual person. We don't need a physical place to be a part of it. The church is within us. The faith is within us. The Holy Spirit resides in all of us.
We are the church.
That's it. Christ is the temple, the Lamb.
You bet.
So let's round the show out. It'd be remiss of me not to talk about it before it occurs. The potential end of the world coming up, the eclipse, where the all sorts of fuckery which is going on in the States. was it MEP or AMEP? Rockets being fired into the sky, three of them.
APEP. Like
APEP, that's right, the Egyptian snake god who eats the sun. We've got the three of them, which is an inversion of the Trinity, being fired into the sky. There's going to be a rocket called the Horned Rocket or Devil's Comet at the same time. And then there's an eclipse. With the American system...
Happens to fall on an anniversary, real quick, of Aleister Crowley performing that summoning ritual in the King's Chamber on his honeymoon, 1901, shut up. April 8th.
You got to
Yep, April... Me. April 8th, and that's when that lamb, or what the other name it was for, is Anais or some shit.
The creepy gray-looking alien thing.
Anawas.
Yeah, the gray-looking alien. Yeah, that's when it came to him and was over his left shoulder and spoke to him, and he wrote the book of the law. Do what thou wilt. Show me the whole of the law. Anyways.
Ugh.
So, and
disgusting.
The amount of stuff, whether it's just fear porn being pushed in the American media and around the world, state of emergency being declared in certain parts of the States over this, and schools shutting for the day. It's like people haven't seen the sun disappear slowly. I'm really concerned that a bunch of America rednecks are going to see the sun disappear and then go, quickly sacrifice a child and bring the sun back.
Well, the government would probably do that, not the citizens.
Biden at the White House. Time to turn the White House red.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing like that around us, declared.
We're not in the direct path of it.
We're awful close.
Yeah, but they're saying because of the eclipse that happened in 2017, in Wyoming, there was a 100-mile backup on the highway, and then people had to get out of their vehicles and then on the side of the road to watch it and stuff or whatever instead of going to their destination because some lady hit a bison, allegedly.
Sure. Yeah, but states like New York, I think, it was the one latest
all
that declared a state of emergency.
New York did? Because the earthquake that just happened?
No, this was for the eclipse.
Really? That's interesting.
Like Drew was talking about.
So talking about also, telling people to stock up on food and stuff.
So
ready for an influx of people. That's the official story.
The whole path thing is, I find very odd, and I know I'm going to get hounded by true earther people on this, but I kind of lean more towards a flat earth these days more than anything else. But either way, whether it's a flat or a globe, the whole idea of it having a, air quotes, path that it goes across where it can be seen, to my mind, that kind of brings out that if you are slightly a meter to the side or a few feet off to the side of where that path is, would it be noticeable or would it not be noticeable? Where's the deviation in the line where that you no longer see the eclipse? That doesn't make sense to me because the sun is so goddamn big and so is the moon. You would think that the eclipse would be across the majority of the Northern Hemisphere, if anything.
Yeah. So we're having a show come out. We talked to a guy about the whole moon thing. It's going to be actually dropping on Monday on the day of the eclipse, where we kind of talk about that.
Episode 100. But
our 100th episode.
Congratulations, gentlemen.
Thanks, man. You. Appreciate it. But this is, we're going to be able to see a partial eclipse from our point of view here in Iowa. So it's very strange that we would even be able to see that, because it's like, why, if it's blocking out the front, like, is it absorbing by the, how can we see a quarter of the eclipse if the moon's like right in front of it? That to me doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because that's like the whole idea, like the miracle stacked upon miracle is the sun is so far away and the moon is so close to it, so that's the exact same size as the sun. That's why it blocks it out during eclipse. That's the miracle stacked upon miracle that they put out for this. But then it doesn't make sense as to how it doesn't just black out the whole entirety of that, the Earth facing it at that time. Why is it in a path?
Right. Yeah.
Excellent point.
And so we kind of got into the topic of like black hole sun type stuff. But yeah, you'll have to listen to the show.
I will, definitely. That's right up my alley.
Hey, so, we're being lied to.
Yeah,
that's, we can all agree on that.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
There's definitely a lie there. NASA's not there to try and get us to Mars, that's for sure.
Right, yeah. No, Elon's not coming to save you.
He's definitely not.
But have you heard about like the cities that the path is taking through the United States? So like the first
all biblical named towns, like Jacob and Egyptian named towns as well.
Nineveh is the path that this one's going through.
And I think the last one is a town called Jacob.
Jacob, and then oh my gosh, there were seven towns that were I can't remember the names of them.
Brain-farted.
No, not brain farted. I can't. I think they're actually Jerusalem.
Salem,
that's what it was. Yeah, Salem. So there's seven cities named Salem, peace, that it went through. This one, there's seven cities named Nineveh, which means, come on, boys.
Oh,
you know what they mean. Drew, where are you at?
Brain fart. But it's. But these things keep crossing, stacking up.
They're crossing on a city called Rapture, apparently, is where the giant X between the 2 7-years.
Yeah, the seven so year there's distance. Bullshit meter right there.
So is that where all the evangelicals are going to go to wearing white robes and get ready to ascend into the heavens?
The Heaven's Gate.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. And lay down, take a nap.
Pray for them.
Yeah, but I don't know what's going to happen.
Because is it that they're really trying hard to make this thing look esoteric more than it is, or is it just coincidence stacked upon coincidence that it's going across a path of towns that have all these esoteric and historically theological and religiously based names associated with it? That either it's done completely on purpose, or it is happening in some kind of a spiritual way. Because we worry about the physical, tangible world, about global conflicts and war. But can you imagine what happens one day if there's suddenly an astrological event or something akin to this, and then you start seeing demons in the street that have always been there but outside of our phase of visibility?
Yeah.
I
think about that, yeah.
That'd be insane. not to go too much into it, but in the episode we talked about, eclipses are a type of portal, so it's also interesting that there's these summoning rituals that are happening during this portal.
And you notice they've been pushing this
is fired up.
Fire hydrant collider.
God, we start talking about demons, you guys start breaking up really bad. Anyone would think they're watching us and listening.
Really?
Weird.
Yeah, sounded almost demonic.
That is wild. Wow,
it's still going.
Holy crap.
I was just going to say that at the same time as all this is going on, there's been that story come out where people have this visual disorder where they see people with demonic faces, and it's got that stretched out, like almost Japanese kakuki demon mouth with the weird eyes and pointed ears. How people have this mental disorder where that's the way they visualize people's faces. They start putting that out now, and they're saying it's more common than people think. It's almost like they're kind of preface us into seeing something in the future.
How do I sound now?
Or slightly better.
Not quite as demonic.
Not quite as demonic, no.
Yeah.
You stopped speaking Latin, so that's great.
Yeah, I apologize about that. I think that they are slowly getting everybody ready. Is that that's what you're talking about? They're slowly pampering everybody, getting them ready. At least that's the way I see it. But
It's that social
I
conditioning,
couldn't get
isn't
over.
it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's soft disclosure. And I just couldn't get over the fact that you said we started sounding really bad. Kind of freaked me out, dude.
Yeah, it's talk about timing. We are both using black scry mirrors of a technological age that have silicon chips inside and crystalline structures, which you
Yeah, it is wild.
used to channel demons in the past. Now we've got the modern day version of it.
Yeah,
Always listening.
true.
Well, gentlemen, before I completely lose you and someone kind of tries to take us off the air, for any of the listeners who this is the first time listening to you, where can I find your work?
Well, you can find us on X at Iowa Talk Guys.
You can find us on Instagram at Iowa Talk Guys underscore podcast.
You can also find us on YouTube and Rumble at Iowa Talk Guys.
And iowatalkguys.com. There we
You
go.
guys have that dialed in so well. Makes me jealous that I'm a single host and I don't have any co-hosts. Look at you,
No.
got that working
No,
really
we.
well.
That is
Oh,
just
thank you.
we've sat at where we're at, you know, it's a Friday night compared to where you're at there. So we've drank a couple beers, but we've got a lot of experience at the table doing that.
Yeah, we're
So
in the shack tonight.
Well,
So
gentlemen,
thank you.
thank you for coming on. This was a great conversation. We kind of covered a whole heap of topics and I think brought it around to a greater discussion about, end times, World War III, conflicts, the future in which we're heading into. And I really enjoyed it. For my listeners, go give these guys a look. They're on my top list of shows to listen to. I'm really looking forward to their episode, not only about police corruption, but the Eclipse one coming out on the day. Hopefully the world doesn't end so I get a chance to listen to it. For the listeners also, I do have a Fourth Wall merch shop open at the moment, popping out heaps of designs on that. Currently working on an Australian cryptid graphic novel series of shirts and calendar coming out soon, so I hope you enjoy that. And I'll catch you all next time.
Hey everybody, it's closing time. You don't gotta go home, but you can't stay here.